All right. You guys are on the record for After Talk.
Yeah.
Are you going to still join us, Brian?
I get to hang around for a little bit, then I'll have to bug out. We got some ads in Vanishing Day.
Well, then real quickly, before you bug out, let's look at the calendar to make sure that by September 21st, we're not getting anything new premiering, which it doesn't look like. No, it's Fargo is September 27th. So
okay,
we have a week of everything the same. One episode of Lower Decks, one Lovecraft Country, and one Boys.
No Larry?
No Larry. We're passing that.
I did the same thing. I watched two episodes of Larry and then was like, oh, I guess I didn't need to watch those two episodes of Larry this week.
I did enjoy seeing the second one, the Schadenfreude, where...
I'm blanking on what the second one was.
The Hitler Jeopardy sketch and the reaction from Jason Alexander.
No, that was good.
Okay. Well, in that case, you gentlemen have a wonderful chat. Thank you to all of our patrons. I'm going to run and do these ads.
Sure.
All right, man.
Tom.
Make that money.
Tom,
yes, sir.
Watched something over the 2 weeks that we were off. And
I did too. What did you watch?
I only got to watch the first episode of it, but I really did enjoy it. It is Apple TV Plus Ted Lasso.
Oh, tell me about how you feel about Ted Lasso.
I was really worried going into it. Because I feel
the first episode is the worst of all of the episodes.
Really?
And I say that still enjoying it, but I feel like it just kept getting better after the first episode.
Oh, that's really good to hear. I was really worried about it because I feel like streaming service comedies have not had a good hit rate with them. In general, or I don't know, in totality. But by the time I was done, it made me go, oh my gosh, you know what this is, or you know what this reminds me so much of? Like, this really does feel like it's tapping into like The Office or 30 Rock kind of workplace
Parks
comedy.
And Rec. Yep.
And really nailing it, really giving us a cast of characters, each with a distinct personality.
But and modern, a distinct, not feeling like it's call back to that era of 30 Rock, et cetera.
And feeling like there have to be new perspectives here, right? Like Ted is such a very interesting character. He's incredibly upbeat. He is unabashed in kind of how much of a fish out of water he is. His coach is like super knowledgeable. He seems very proficient on everything, and there's like no animosity between them at all. The team is obviously very skeptical, but he makes it's that formula, and it feels very new. I think the only thing that I thought felt really contrived was the heel turn at the end with the owner and her becoming the big bad of, actually, I want him to fail, and so it will hurt my ex-husband even more. that felt cartoonishly out of place there.
I had already knew that turn was coming from a description I read.
Oh, really?
So I don't think it was meant to be a huge surprise, because it was in some story I read about, you know, like, oh, like Ted Lasso is about a coach from America who knows nothing about football, but he's being set up for failure by his owner who wants to get back in the ring. Like that was, it was like a log line kind of description. So I was spoiled on that. So maybe that helped. Maybe it didn't let me down as much.
I had my guard down, I suppose, because he's so.
And I agree that feels a little stiffer, but it also, one of my other takes on Ted Lasso is that it is Parks and Rec from the Sudeikis side meets a classic British comedy.
Oh,
like it is in the tradition of Are You Being Served? And you know, this The Office UK, right? Like, and so there's a nice little blending of those forms there. And the heel turn is, to me, felt very classic British, like, oh yeah, that's what you do in a British comedy, is she wants to get back at her ex. So yeah,
I only watched that first episode, which is all table setting for the season, I assume. I think I really did enjoy Ted's scene of going to the hotel or to the apartment and kind of having a quiet moment and having a rather negative experience calling his wife, or I guess a slightly estranged wife, back in America, because it felt like, I mean, that scene is almost meant to, it almost feels like with the character that positive and that upbeat, you're supposed to have a downbeat of, well, this is who that person is when no one's watching, or this is who that person really is. And what we got is, well, he's clearly trying his best. And also there feels to be just incompatibility with, you know, his wife, and it strains their relationship with a
child.
How
many episodes have you watched? Just the first?
Just the first one.
Yeah. Because one of the things I love is that Ted Lasso is Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. And so when he's facing that disappointment with his wife, he's still Ted Lasso. When he finds out anything disappointing that you haven't found out yet, he's still Ted Lasso. But there will come a time when even Ted Lasso is just human and isn't Ted Lasso and can't keep up his positivity anymore. And at that point, it's heartbreaking because you're like, oh man, like life gets to all of us, even Ted Lasso, right? But it's not because he's heroic or superhuman or anything. It's because you've been shown a character that feels real. Like most of us aren't like wildly different, you know, when we're alone, you know, with our loved ones versus when we're out in public. We're mostly, we have different faces we put on, and mm-hmm. Ted Lasso has different faces he puts on, but we're the same person. And that's one of the things I love about this is he's just him. You know, when they give him the tea in episode one and he's like, you know, I thought tea would just be hot brown water. I was expecting something dissembling, mm-hmm. right? Like, but I guess it's not that bad kind of thing. Or, you know, but it's pretty good. I think I might replace whiskey with this, or, you know, something funny. And he's like, nope, I was right. That's awful.
That
like no compromise, right? Like just straight into the like. Yeah, like that's just awful. I'll never drink that again. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But it's not insulting. It's not aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Which maybe you have a better perspective on this, Tom, but it feels like that's like a really interesting take on American versus British culture, right? Like in America, you would have the platitude. You're like, oh, okay. And you might, just nicety, you know, whatever. Where I feel like British comedy and British characters would be about kind of that kind of brusque honesty about it. And so I think that makes him kind of formidable to the culture shock.
Well, but there's the other aspect, because you're absolutely right. But the other side of it is in Britain, your brusque honesty is always delivered with frosting of politeness, right? You know, there's that British polity that always has to coat everything. So you can never be a truly direct, even when you're being honest. Whereas in the United States, we're the opposite. We'll deliver platitudes all day long, but we're very direct. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's what was going on with him is like, oh yeah, no, that's just no good for me. Yeah, thank you much. but no, that's awful. Whereas the British would have been more like, oh, I suppose that's a fine cup of tea that, you know, as good as you could have gotten there. It's not for me, but, you know.
Backhanded sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought it was great. And the press conference, I kind of was a little also worried going into this that like, oh, this is like a huge joke. This is completely insurmountable Sisyphean odds. And in that press conference, and it's kind of light, it feels even the harshest moments of that feel lighthearted. Even the seeing the two guys who are the two random people just watching in the pub, like even that, like it was, I thought you could have gone darker. You really could have like bore into this guy immediately. And it ended up feeling kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because if it was The Office, right? The Office would like, there's that one episode, I don't remember what, but there's some screw up and the printing company actually accidentally prints penises on all of the papers and they hold like a press conference and it's like one guy and even that they're messing up and the journalist's like, no, you've said all of this. I'm reporting all of this. Like that feels like so insurmountable, just a huge mess up where like that press conference was, and granted you had the owner stepping in at the end and making stuff right, but it felt like, okay, they can like But everyone's going to give this a shot.
Yeah. 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 Well, and I think that's the other thing I love is Ted Lasso isn't Michael Scott, right? Michael Scott is inept. You're always cringing. You're always like, oh, yeah, what is he going to say next? Oh, I thought that's what Ted Lasso was going to be like. He's not. Ted Lasso is actually a really good coach. He just doesn't know anything about soccer.
Yeah.
And that aspect of the story is coaching about the game or is coaching about the people? Because if it's about the people, Ted Lasso is going to win.
Well, and
we already know in episode one that he's good with people. If it's about the game, then he's got problems because Beard has brushed up on soccer as much as he can, but that's all we got.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like it has to be at the people because the reason they have Beard there, and I think Beard is technically the coach, like Ted Lasso is the manager. Like, right. Beard knows what he's doing. He's reading the book on the plane. Yep. He knows it's called, you know, the
he's
pitch.
Brushed up.
Yeah. Yep.
He may not have the experience, but he at least has the knowledge, but Ted doesn't even have the knowledge.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to guess that they'll figure that out. That's really going to smooth over in the wash.
I will say this is the mildest of spoilers. Okay. But Ted is going to continue to talk about the welfare of the boys is what's most important, not winning or losing.
Okay. He's that high. Okay. Well, and he came from, what was it, high school or no? It was
Division II college.
Division II college, right? So
yeah,
you kind of, it's not really worth it, a concussion.
I grew up in the home of a D3 college. Ooh. So okay. D2, man.
Yeah, that's walk-on football, right? That's just shirts and skins. I don't know. I would like to keep watching it, and so I think I will. It's just it being, for whatever reason, just it being on, I don't use the TV app very much, so it's not being pushed in front of me.
Yeah.
Versus when I hit home and I see HBO and YouTube and Netflix and stuff.
You using Apple TV or
Roku? I am. I'm using the Apple TV.
So you can change the home screen to show you your strip of what to watch next. It's in the settings.
But does that take you to the TV app?
So no, it'll go back to the way it used to be before they updated it, where that strip across the top will be watch next.
It'll always be watch next.
Yeah.
Ew.
It won't be promotional.
Oh, I'll check that I'll have to check that because none of the things in my top row, and Netflix kind of does, but none of the rest of the things in my top row have a very good use of that marquee.
I know. I hated it when they changed that marquee. It was awful.
I also watched something last night. And do you have something you want to talk about?
I just want a quick plug for #Alive on Netflix. It's a Korean zombie movie. And what I'll say is if you just want a solid zombie movie, it's not more predictable than any other zombie movie. It's got its own take. It all takes place in an apartment complex. They're not ranging around. Watch #Alive. It's not going to super surprise you because it's a zombie movie, but it's really well done.
Okay, interesting. I feel like I saw an ad or something for this. I'll give that a check. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. If you like zombie movies, you're going to love it. Mm.
Over last night, I had finished up all my watchings for Spoiler in Time, and I looked on my Netflix list, and I saw that there was a new movie out, and I ended up watching the Charlie Kaufman film, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. Have you seen that movie or did you read the book?
I have not read the book. I feel like I saw the movie, but it was a long time ago.
Okay. Cause it just debuted on Netflix. So maybe it was a press screener.
Or maybe I saw a similar movie then and not this take.
Gotcha.
I'm not thinking of Man on the Moon with what's his face?
Man on the Moon.
That was the Andy Kaufman story told fictionally in a movie.
No, not Andy, Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, Charlie Kaufman.
Did I say Andy?
Oh,
sorry, Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, no, I have not read the book nor seen this.
So this is...
I heard Andy, I apologize.
I might have said Andy. Anyway, this is Jesse Buckley and Jesse Plemons in this... When I looked up the Wikipedia afterwards, it called it a psychological thriller, which I think is a better expectation than the trailer, I think, gives. The trailer makes it feel like they're going to do some real excuse my language, some real mind-fucky sort of things.
So this is a film by Charlie Kaufman.
Yes.
He's the Eternal Sunshine adaptation, that guy. Okay.
Right. He, being John Malkovich, Eternal Sunshine, yeah. And so it's these two young people who have only been in a relationship like 6 weeks, going out to visit his parents' farmhouse, kind of in this heavy snow, and it's a lot of like the drive out there and their conversation, and we hear a lot from the young woman's point of view. You know, we're hearing her thoughts, and she kind of starts off this by saying, like, well, I'm thinking of ending things. You know, there's something about him. There's some irascible thing. He's nice enough, whatever. But and so they go and they visit the parents' house, and it has a lot of, I don't know the best way to describe it. The problem is I don't know a good way to describe it it's a weird movie. It's a movie where like weird stuff happens, but it's not.
That's Charlie Kaufman. Yeah.
But I feel like there's not enough suspense for it to be a thriller, right? If you're calling it a thriller, I don't think it's thrilling. You know, if this is supposed to be like horror, and I don't think that there's any part of it that's horror in it. And there's nothing that's meant to like scare you. So what it is, telling is like a very abstract, psychological tale, and there's a lot I don't like about this movie, Tom. I don't think this is a content spoiler, but this is like a thing that happens in the movie and I don't like it. So near the end of the movie, there is an extended, I want to say 10 or 15 minute long, it can't be 10, maybe 10 is the upper limit, interpretive dance that takes place. It just breaks out in the middle of it. Two other people appear and do an interpretive dance in the location that they're at. And
this feels very Charlie Kaufman.
And it's just the most, I don't like calling things pretentious, because I think there tends to be an anti-art.
Think it's pretentious to call things pretentious?
I think it's anti-art to call things pretentious.
Sure. It's simplistic.
Yes.
You can just kind of throw that at something you don't like or understand.
just topping off this very long movie with the long interpretive dance bit at the end, not the very end, but in the final kind of sequence there, just felt like, are you really doing this? Is this just put it on the pile, I guess. It's interesting, but I feel like it doesn't end up going anywhere. And looking up the Wikipedia for the book and the story that the book is telling, I see it. I see all the things that the book is, that this movie is trying to say about the book and the characters in the movie and Ray, the characters in the book. But man, what is this thing? And I thought this was going to be like, great, the trailer's awesome. You go and watch the trailer and it's like, oh, there's like weird things going on in this house. And it's more and less at the same time, Tom. It is less than the sum of its parts.
I feel like what you're saying has been said about every Charlie Kaufman movie.
Wow.
By someone. And that's not to say you're unappreciative of Charlie Kaufman's genius. That's to be like, it's kind of his thing. Is to always try to do that to you. To be like, I want to shove you out where you're like, this is not the movie I expected. I don't understand what's going on. Like, a lot of people felt that way about Adaptation, I remember, when it came out. And I think people even felt that way about Being John Malkovich. Maybe not as much about Eternal Sunshine. But it feels like a very familiar criticism of the way he does his work. And every one thing he does is different than the other. It's not like they're all the same.
Yeah. And it's hard to talk too much about this without getting spoiler, and I'm really trying to not spoil anything, because even speaking broadly about it, I feel like has some spoilers to it. But it's just a movie where I felt confused early on. I got more confused, as if thinking that this was like a puzzle box movie, that like, oh, there's a weird thread here that I'm not seeing that's going to tie everything together. And instead, it did the opposite. Everything kind of spread out, and you were supposed to be looking at the bigger picture, not the smaller picture, things created an image in the abstract instead of in the concrete. And that's frustrating from, I think, a PR's perspective. I think Netflix doesn't make good trailers, and I think this is a good trailer for not this movie. I think is a part of
the expectation. Yeah, I try never to damn a movie based on its trailer, though, because trailers are notorious.
And well, and I don't think the movie's worse for having the trailer. The trailer got me to see the movie.
Yeah,
but I think it's just weird sets of expectations. I would be interested to hear what other people think about it.
It's an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a 6.8 on IMDb. Mm. I wonder how those relate.
I think on IMDb it's user generated.
Yeah, those are all user.
84% is the critic score. What's the audience score? Is 47%.
Oh, interesting. And it's certainly like, this is the second time I've talked about it in our podcast day to day. So
boy, it's really getting under your skin.
Wow. It's. I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate it, but I definitely walked away just being like, it's a movie, and I think the book is set up this way too, as a thing you're supposed to watch a second time or read a second time. F no, I'm not doing that. I know we can curse on the after, but F no, I'm not doing that. There's a lot of talk about books.
You have to do it.
That I
you
don't
have to watch it again.
Ah, okay.
Before you can ever say another negative word about it, you have to watch it three more times.
Anyway, I'm thinking of ending things.
Is the name of the movie?
Is the name of the
Bryce
movie?
Bryce is fine. He's not drinking.
I was so worried Googling it last night. I had to make sure I said, I'm thinking of anything's film. I'm thinking of anything's
DuckDuckGo. That's when you use DuckDuckGo. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. Oh my goodness. Hey, good after talk.
Thank you. Yes. Good after talk. Thank everybody for listening.
Thank you everybody for listening. You are all the best. Hope you have a good rest of your evening. Bye.
Bye.